Now, speaking of marriage again, marriage as an institution served in the day of the prophet, and even now, if you still have similar kind of conditions for slaves or for people, it served to help eliminate or do away with the ugly way or institution of slavery, which was very popular in the days of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. It contributed toward the elimination of slavery by requiring the owner or the master of a slave to do a number of things for the benefit of the slave. Taught working out the freedom, eventual freedom for a slave. One of these things concerns marriage. If I wanted to marry a slave girl, wanted to not marry, have a slave girl, have sexual affections from the slave girl, and I come up with a child from the slave girl, according to the law of the Quran, immediately the slave girl is free. Once it's known that she has my child, she's free. Her child is born free, also she's free. The mother and the child becomes free at the time it is known that this child is the child of the slave master. That child will be entitled, and the woman will be entitled to all the rights of free people. All the rights of free people. And at that time, she will no longer be his, the person in mischarge. He is the ward or the protector for that person. She will no longer be a ward in his charge, for want of a better word. She will no longer be a ward in his charge. She comes immediately to the status of wife. Immediately to the status of wife, and her child has to be given all the rights that he required his children born to his wives that were free, are never slaves. So we find that the social life is the life where we experience all the troubles. But it's the same life that will bring us the best life on this earth. The best life for us on this earth can only be had through social progress. Through social progress. It starts right with our own self at home, with the family. We should make our family an ideal social environment where there's a proper relationship and proper respect for those relationships, proper authority in the parents, in the father, in the mother. Proper respect for each other. Proper respect for the children. Proper respect from the children to the parent. It should start right there. And then we should have a future. We should have a future in mind. We should live day to day. No matter how good the job is. Maybe the boss told us, this job is better. This factory here will go forever. This business will be the last forever, and you will always have a job. So you don't have to worry about any job you feel. You'll always have a job. But that's still a dead life. That's a dead life. That's a slave life. If you punch a clock and live for nothing but money to pay bills. That's a dead life. That's a slave life. No matter how great you are, or how small and insignificant you are, How ignorant you are, how deprived you are, how poor you are, no matter what your situation is, if you're truly a Muslim and understand your religion, you should have your eyes on better things for tomorrow. Never be satisfied with where you are today. Keep your eyes looking toward a bigger thing, a bigger responsibility, and bigger rewards in your life down the road. Work for bigger gains in your life. Bigger gains, bigger horizons for your mind, or horizons for your mind. And bigger possessions for the good of yourself and your wife and your family. Bigger possessions. Muslims should never be satisfied to just work day for day the same old thing. No. Look for room to progress, to improve upon your situation, to enjoy more, to gain more, and to enjoy more. But do it as a Muslim. Do it as a believer in God. Do it with a heart for all. The Prophet Muhammad said, peace and the blessing be upon him. He's not really a believer. Whoever can go to sleep and rest tonight with his stomach full, knowing that his neighbor's hungry. Huh? That's what Prophet Muhammad thought. So we know there's an obligation on us to work for our needs, but also to be considerate of other people and to be charitable. To be charitable. To let that whatever you have gained or acquired, to let it be shared by others. Don't be so selfish. Some of us are so selfish in our lives nowadays. So selfish at home with each other. Don't even want to see each other enjoy the food. We were coming up like that. Time was too hard for us to get that way. Time was so hard, we needed friends. So my brother was also my friend. My sister was my friend, too, because we were suffering, man. We needed some company, you know? But now things are so plentiful, life is so careless and undisciplined. Everybody going in his own way. You can eat anytime you want to. They tell me a lot of people starving, but I don't know why. Or they can come to some of you all's house and get enough out of your garbage cans to survive. You throw away a half a chicken, you buy two, you throw away a half of one. They shouldn't be hungering, but they say they are. But in those times, you know, things when I was a young boy, things were hard. There's a brother right here. He knew me when I was a boy. Times were hard for him, too. And he used to look at us, and sometimes he'd share his little bit with us. Brother Muhammad, that's the Muhammad, minister, imam. Stand up there. See, you've been knowing me since I was a little fella. He was a school teacher, and he was a field minister. He would drive all over and walk all over, preaching the word. He's still doing the same. He hasn't stopped for all of those years. Praise be to Allah. He's a blessing to us. Yes. So I noticed that you're so selfish, don't want to see nobody enjoy something. You see, you look like you enjoy it. They start coughing or act like they got to spit up or start belching around you. That's really sick, isn't it? And some of them, they don't want you to eat after them. They eat, they may finish. You still eating, you know, he's going to punish you because you're still eating. Now, we don't eat the same speed. Can't I just take my time and eat my dinner? And I'm through now. Don't bother me. You go on about your business. You through? Go on about your business then, if I'm bothering you eating. Bad times for many people. Also, we should understand that the law of marriage for Muslims is not the same as the law of marriage for other people. It's important that we know these things. That the newly converted people to this religion in America, in a Christian environment or in the American Western environment, where the knowledge of our religion is not available. It's not common knowledge. See, in a real Muslim society, the things that I'm telling you now are common knowledge. So I heard one girl said, she said, you know, I don't see how they can marry their own cousin. I could never marry my cousin. But in our religion, we're permitted to marry our cousins. Now, if a Muslim doesn't accept that, he's ignorant Muslim. He's an ignorant Muslim. Oh, I could never marry my own cousin. Why not? Really, I believe we'd have better families if more of us married our cousins. Yes. See, because your cousin uses your family, know they know each other better. They know each other better. And a cousin, you know the cousin, you're friendly, you get along well together. You already know each other and you get along well together. You perhaps were raised similarly. Most likely make perfect match. Jews marry their cousins. Muslims marry cousins. Christians don't marry cousins. Well, yeah, that's right. Christians don't marry cousins, not to my knowledge. I don't think they're allowed to marry cousins. Now, that's an allowance or something permitted to us that we won't find popular in the world, right? Not popular in this society. You have to understand also, because some of us will make a mistake and do it. Your father, whoever the woman your father has gone with and have had children by her or had a sexual relationship with her, she's forbidden to you. I don't care if she's not your mother, she's forbidden to you. Some men will marry her over here. Father will have a wife, father, he marries her. We can't do that. Also, your brother. Over here it happens. In the West it happens. Maybe in some other societies too. Your brother has a wife. They divorced or something happened wrong. You take her, right? You can't do that as a Muslim. No, you're not to go with your brother's wife. Not to have your brother's wife. Another thing you should know. Sometimes we marry a woman and she has children by previous marriage, huh? Or from previous marriage. Some of us will go with her child. Ain't my child. Huh? A Muslim, you can't do that. It's forbidden. It's forbidden to go with the child of your wife. And that goes for sister, too. She can't go with the son of her husband. She might get fed up with the husband and say, oh, I like the son. He's not my boy. He's a fine boy. I like the son. And she put the husband out and take his boy. Take his son, huh? Like you do. You put the woman out and take her daughter. You can't do that if you're Muslim. See, this is the kind of education we have to have as Muslims. Because we don't want to just pray, come here and pray and let that. That's like one drop in the ocean of your religion. You just come here and pray. That's nothing. Prophet Muhammad counted almost as nothing when he was told that a certain man was staying all the time in the mosque and praying and fasting. Prophet Muhammad said, well, who's taking care of him? And they said, we take care of him here. Prophet Muhammad said, then you're better than he is. So he condemned that. He condemned that. He put pressure on that person that just praying and doing those things and neglecting their life. So you have to live a full life. And if you're going to live a full Muslim life, you have to know it. How are you going to live it if you don't know it? Oh, but we are in this country now. They have laws. Certainly, we know that. We know they have laws. But there are a lot of things that you don't know about law. And when it comes to law comes to religion. Law, civilized law, has respect for legitimate, civilized, religious commitment. So Jews marry their cousins over here in the United States. Nobody bother them. Nobody pick on them. Nobody look down upon them. Arabs are doing the same thing, and many others. So So you all, you should reconsider your thinking. And if you got nice mates, nice children, sometimes cousins take to each other naturally. They just like each other. I knew a boy, a girl and a girl. They were cousins and they loved each other. And they let it be known. They didn't hide it. But they fought it because it wasn't supposed to be acceptable. As far as I know, they never got together. But they acknowledged that they were in love with each other. So if this is our religion, then we should look at it. Our homes need a lot of help. See, the parents have to play a role. Don't let your children just live without you having a role in their life. So an intelligent way, find an intelligent way to reach them and help steer their life in a better course or in a better way. Help them find better mates. I know an old man, he's an Indian. Finally got all his children married off. Been knowing the man for about 30 years. That man, he's such a wonderful person when it comes to looking out after the private needs of his family members and his friends. He knew of my need. He came way from San Francisco. He's not rich, he's poor. Came way from San Francisco to see about me. Yes! I saw him once and he says, well, I'm looking for a mate for... I said, for who? I said, I thought all your children. He said, yeah. He said, but I met a hippie. Then he's looking for a mate. So I'm looking for a mate. He said, I'm going to marry them. He also married people. So he was looking for a mate with his hippie. And I don't know whether he found him or not. I never found out whether he found a mate for him. But I know he did marry hippies, too. He married hippies. During that years ago, they had a lot of them in California, you know. So we have to be like that old man. He would go and search. If he couldn't find a proper mate in his town and the location where he lived, he would go outside. He traveled outside to other areas, to friends, to associates, looking for a mate for his daughter and for his son. Eventually, all of them got married. He found mates for all of them. He didn't do too bad either. He didn't do too bad. He didn't bring the family down. Most of them on the same level, some of them above his own, the people he brought into his family above in social status, above his own children. They had acquired more, they achieved more in the world, more education, more money. See? So if you want your family to be good and strong, you have to look out for it. Don't just let things happen. When we live like that, we're not as socialized as some animals. Some animals, they protect their families better than we do. That's no good. They live closer together than some of us do. It's not our fault. This is not a black man's fault. It's not a white man's fault. This is the fault of America's culture. America's culture doesn't provide for this kind of protection. You have to get it from your religion or from your private idea, belief, worldview and belief. So let us understand this religion and try to live it more. The more we live it, the more successful we're going to be. No way to be successful as a Muslim and you live it as something else. Your success then is something else. It ain't Muslim. Huh? To be successful as a Muslim, I have to live as a Muslim. Then I'll be successful as a Muslim. So no marrying the stepdaughter and all that kind of stuff. You had to cut that out. I heard that one brother, he married a sister to get a daughter. Not going to give any names or anything. But the evidence is strong against him that he did that. Because once he was married to her, immediately he started treating her different. And he was getting closer and closer to the daughter all the time. So it looked like he really married her to get her daughter. Anyone does that, and I hear about it in this community here, I'm going to put the police on you. I'm talking about a police with a badge that I'll give him right here. I'll give him one out of my pocket. Put a badge on it.
We're not going to get anywhere until we civilize our own social life. Civilize the family life, the social life. Then we can get somewhere. So I hope that these few words on the religion, on the family, will suffice for today. And I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to see what the Bears are doing. It'll do a lot for Chicago if they win. We need a big win here in Chicago, and I don't mean the kind we get all the time, to bring the people together and give us a better spirit in this town. So we thank Allah for blessing us with health and life and strength to carry the burden and fulfill our commitments in the religion, to the religion. And we hope to see you again next Sunday for the noon prayer, Talim at 1 o'clock, and also those who can join us for Jummah Friday. We look forward to seeing you. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.